Welcome to Church Run, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
Woo-hoo! The best part.
First week of Lent, everyone.
Oh my gosh, what a week.
Whoa. Welcome to Church Drunk. We've got three of us here today.
That's
special
right.
Guest who we'll introduce in just a moment.
Yeah.
But before we get too deep into it, I just want to give everybody a heads up that Church Drunk is for grown-ups, unless your kids are really sweary and okay with blasphemy.
Yeah, if you're a cool parent, then you can let them listen. But if you're one
we
of those...
told you. We warned you. So we're Catholic. You don't have to be. We're glad you're here. And I am Dizzy with my co-host, old-time buddy, guest, and...
Hello. And special guest...
Corny.
Hey,
Corny.
Hey, Dizzy Guest. It's so awesome to be with you guys. And Happy Lent.
Happy Lent.
Is that what you're supposed to say?
No.
I mean, like, sad Lent, desert Lent, dry Lent, boo Lent.
Really depressing.
Yeah.
Depressing Lent.
Sad, awful, way of the cross.
Okay.
Martyrish Lent, perhaps.
You know what? We are nothing if not hyperbolic. So welcome to our Lenten podcast where we are un-Lent happy because we've got our good friend joining us today.
Yes.
And to make things even better, let's all say what we're drinking because this is Church Drunk. So everyone needs to get ready to make a drink, pour a drink.
Yeah.
Guess has a special drink, so we'll let him go first.
So Corny has been forewarned that this is a drinking podcast about Jesus. and so we all have
new
to
tagline.
Have drink in hand. And so for me, I went to Michael P. Foley's
Shout out.
Drinking with the Saints.
Is
Fantastic
this guy not
book.
A fucking sponsor yet?
I know, seriously.
For years, Michael P. Foley.
And rather than flipping, I realize we probably always have the same days that we do for Michael P. Foley because we always go through like Lent and Advent and stuff like that.
That's true.
So I was like, you know what? This time I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me and I'm just going to open up to a page. And lo and behold, I open up to page 174 honoring St. Vincent de Paul, whose feast day is July 19th, with a pirate's cocktail.
Oh, wow. Wait, there was a pirate's cocktail in this book and you didn't know about it?
I know, right? It took me years to find this.
Guys, Guess has multiple outfits that involve, like, pirate pants.
Yeah. Baby
like,
Guess might actually be wearing his pirate pajamas tonight.
He picked them himself.
Yeah, he picked them out. So there's
but
a pirate
like,
book.
Let's
he walks
be clear, like,
house
you have your own pirate pants. Like, let's not blame this on the baby. Like,
yes.
You are fully a pirate fan on your own.
I am most comfortable
not
in
the team.
Pirate attire.
Like the archetype.
Yes.
Pirates. Okay.
And this time of year, as we ramp up to St. Paddy's Day, I always start to listen to my Irish tunes, and Irish tunes are kissing cousins with the sea shanties of the pirates.
This is some real guest bullshit, everyone.
And it really
Glad
makes my heart sore. When I start to hear some of these songs of the sea, it makes my heart sore.
St. Vincent de Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul, who
please.
I did not know, actually, was kidnapped by pirates and
like
sold
St. Patrick.
Into slavery in North Africa. I did not know that part of his story.
Not like St. Patrick.
Right, yeah. Michael P. Foley recommends a pirate's cocktail, which is 1 3/4 ounce of dark rum, 3/4 ounce of sweet vermouth, and a dash of Angostura bitters. So it's basically a Manhattan, but with dark rum. I like your style, Michael
what
P. Foley.
What is usually in a Manhattan? For us who don't mix the drinks and just drink them?
Wow. My estimation of you just dropped a couple notches.
Dude, I am so spoiled and mostly by you.
Yeah.
About drinking.
It's a Manhattan is usually bourbon.
Oh, I was going to guess bourbon.
Okay. And then bitters.
So
and always
dark
with
rum.
A cherry. So,
so this is like
rum.
A Caribbean or a African?
Yeah. So it's like a, it's well, it's a, so you think pirates, you think Caribbean, you know, lots of rum, lots of grog, etc.
Or the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean.
Is it Caribbean rum?
All right. Guess Corny. You said you were locked and loaded. So what are you drinking?
All right, you gonna go guess? Or,
he just
or
went.
Dizzy.
He just told us.
Yeah.
He.
Dizzy.
Yeah.
I'm dizzy. I know it's very confusing. So guys, Corny
I'm
actually knows
dizzy.
Us IRL, and we're trying to get him to use our names. We're gonna talk about our names, but I'm dizzy. Guess is guess. He just talked about a pirate for St. Vincent.
Pirate's
de Paul
cocktail for St. Vincent de Paul.
Which was a Manhattan.
A Manhattan, except with dark rum.
Which I should have apparently known is meant to be bourbon.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of us have some Lenten shame now.
Yes.
Anyway, Corny is our guest star today. Corny, what are you drinking?
Well, you know, it's funny that you talked about St. Patrick, you know, because I am drinking Five Farms Single Batch Irish Cream Liquor from County Cork, Ireland.
Wow.
Mixed in with some... Fair trade coffee. So that is my deal.
You are some hipster fancy bringing it to the church trunk tonight. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I don't
know.
It's
cool. And it looks kind of piratey. It's got this like gizmo that locks the cap on the top. It looks you would throw it off a pirate ship into the ocean with your bottle, with your message in the bottle.
Yeah.
So, we have the pirate theme going and the Irish thing being kidnapped by pirates, I guess.
You're so on
I don't
trend
know.
Right now.
I like it. No, that's St. Patrick, kidnapped by pirates. St. Vincent de Paul, apparently. Kidnapped
I did
by
not
pirates.
Know that about St. Vincent de Paul, and I would like to nominate him formally for the next Drunk Lives of the Saints.
Yes. Well, yeah.
I don't recommend that anyone ever listen to our St. Patrick Drunk Lives of the Saints episode.
It's our finest work. I'm not going to lie.
It is very revealing about us as people. Yeah. And also about St. Patrick.
Yeah. So Corny, if you have not dug
I'm
in
sure he hasn't.
To the Church Drunk archives, if you go back to like episode, I believe it was like 5 or 6 or something like that, in the early days.
So bad.
We did our first recording of Drunk Lives of the Saints, which for legal purposes is not a direct knockoff of Drunk History. But we throw a few back and we tell the stories of the lives of the saints. And we started with lives of St. Patrick.
You know what I remember
and Saint Bridget
the most
of Kildare.
From that?
Oh, I know what you remember.
What is
most.
It? Go ahead. Let's see if you're...
It was all of the teats.
Yes.
Yes.
We had a huge fight about teats.
Yes.
And Mrs. Guess's dad had to be like, you guys need to stop fighting about teats.
Yeah. So...
Whatever.
Teeth. Okay.
Teats. Yeah. There's a lot of teats involved in the story
Dude.
Of St.
Oh,
Bridget
teats.
Of Kildare. Yes.
Yeah. No, like...
She's,
you know,
she's
nipples.
There's some suckling at a red heifer, I believe. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. All
right.
Anyway, right. We need to.
All right, Diz, what are you drinking?
Wow. We haven't even got that far.
I know. Yeah.
I am drinking a Thribble Current beer from Anderson Valley Brewing Company out of California. And I chose it because it has currants in it, which makes it kind of purpley, which
yes.
I'm still really sticking to my Lenten like color scheme.
There's nothing that Diz loves better than a color appropriate cocktail for liturgical seasons.
Guys, sometime Pantone's going to pick a like lavender shade as its like color of the year, and that will be my year. I am all about the colors and the matching.
Yeah. This is true.
So I regret nothing. But hey, cheers.
Cheers.
To all of us and
cheers.
To Church Drunk.
Absolutely.
So we're only in the first week of Lent.
Right.
Which is not that far into Lent because Lent is fucking long.
Yeah.
But Guess and I have not been Lenting that great.
No,
so we're really grateful
that
Corny's here.
Really
to
shit
kick.
The bed on Lent so far.
We
so.
Love Lent. Oh. Yeah. What happened?
I don't know. There's
we kind of know.
We've been swept up in this tidal
Drama.
Wave of elections and coronavirus
is
and everything else.
Feeling suppressed?
There's
well,
a lot of noise to
like
drown out.
That's penance.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, there's your
is
Lenten
though,
discipline right
though,
now.
I mean,
right.
The last 4 years have been my Lenten discipline.
I know, right? Wouldn't you say
actually,
that it's been a very long,
the
long,
Dorito
long
of
Lent
Doom
that we've all
been
sort of
has
entrenched
been
in?
Drifting his dust into all of our Lents.
Yeah.
365 Lent.
So there is, I mean, it's not supposed to be waiting in joyful expectation or any sort of hopefulness, but with, you know, election season in full swing, maybe there is a kernel of hope. In the heart of this time of year right now.
Okay, well, Corny reminded me that, like, you know, God makes all things new today, and we got to focus on that. So we're going to push reset. We're going to restart our Lent.
Yes.
Guess
kicked Whoopsie Wednesday, as I was calling it
yesterday.
Whoopsie
Wednesday.
Guess
was like,
after Ash Wednesday, there's Whoopsie Wednesday
this.
When you forgot to start Lent. So we restarted.
Okay, so let's revisit. We were telling Corny that Guess and I like to take things away from each other as our fastings, which might be self-indulgent pleasure of our own because it's really fun for us.
Yes.
But Corny, are you giving up anything for Lent? Like, what's your Lenten practice like?
Oh, man. So I'm doing some things for Lent.
Okay.
So some
adding
one
things
is,
in. We do that too. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So 10 minutes of silent meditation, which I should do like every day anyway, you know, but I put that in. And then the other deal, I guess I am taking something away. And one is I have a backpack that I take with me to work with all my gizmos in it, but I do have a computer at work that I can do everything on. I just have to have this extra stuff, right? So I've decided to leave that backpack at home.
Like your personal devices is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, like okay. I have my extra laptop because, you know, I it's my work is a PC and I have a Mac that's mine.
Yeah.
And so I end up doing a lot of graphic stuff or whatever. And I just go right to my Mac for that. So, so I have been, just leaving that at home.
Wow.
So
dude, how do you feel?
I feel like a lot lighter, mm-hmm. both literally,
physically, yeah, and metaphorically.
And metaphorically, you know, right. Yeah, because like I just got my keys and my lunch, you know, that's it. I go to work, you know.
That's a whole new level of like Lenten suffering, right? Like I'm gonna like step out of my technological comfort zone, which.
Yeah.
Is like the zone that most of us really think is like actually essential, right?
Well,
like whatever technology
we like
you're used to
it
using
in a million ways.
Totally.
Oh, this is for work.
Right.
I have to be connected.
But you can get by with so much less. And so that's an interesting take on it. I would never think to like
so
give up something
smart.
Like that. Yeah.
You know, Corny,
and,
you're
and
like
the
a
meditation
person
ties
from
into
decade.
It.
Mm-hmm. Like another time.
So how does the meditation tie into it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How does that
connect? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so the meditation ties in because my rule is no black mirror. You know, no phone, mm-hmm. nothing. You
got
know, like,
it.
You know, I just
okay.
set
like,
it aside.
But, like, would you have been looking yeah. at it while you were praying anyway?
Well, okay, because when
like,
I do
are you
pray,
are you, like distracted, like, on, like scrolling
but a lot of people,
Facebook
a lot of people
while
use
you're
it
praying?
For prayer, right? Like, a lot of
no.
people, like, my daily meditation.
No, but when
phone.
I...
Okay, okay.
But when there I pray, maybe I'll look at the USCCB readings
okay.
on my phone.
Okay,
exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
maybe I'll do like the Loyola Press 3-minute retreat.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I do
as
like
part
those.
Of my.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
right,
those are sweet.
You know those types of things. So I just was like, okay, I'm just gonna push it aside and it, because you know we're looking at screens all day. So
totally.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Guess and I kind of did that because we have like real books this year.
Yeah.
Like physical books.
Mm, right.
We didn't do even ebooks.
Yeah, except I threw mine away like right away and I had to
yeah,
get
well,
a new
you,
one.
But then you bought the Bulls Weaver.
Yes. I got two new ones that I'm working on.
Two? What's the other one?
I picked up the one of the Daily Reflection ones.
Oh,
that,
okay.
You know, right. was an option at our place of employment.
Drink. Everyone drink.
But yeah, so I started out with reflections from John Paul II or reflections that were inspired by John Paul II.
He was so hopeful, everyone.
But I didn't realize that it was like prayers for the family. So it's like when you gather your family around for morning prayer, you should do it this way. And it's like a script. And so I was like, well, I can probably pick and choose from this. But I did it on Ash Wednesday and then never again. Like I didn't pick it back up. So I was like, I obviously need a new tool, like a new book.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Mm.
So I'm, yeah. So I've reloaded.
Okay.
And I ordered last week, Corny, we were talking about some of our resources for Lent, and we had a couple books by Nadia Bowles-Weber, if you're not chuckling at the name, I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
There he goes. Nice.
But
so I got
one of those.
Not your Balls Weaver? Is that what you
The Balls Weaver.
Yes,
exactly.
The Balls Weaver.
Yes.
That's exactly where Guess went to. It's funny how both of you have the same exact gutter to drive in.
Drunk Lives of the Saints had a lot of teeth.
Welcome to my life,
and
everyone.
Nadia Bowles Weaver.
God bless it. Yeah. Although, as soon as we read Nadia Bowles Weaver, I'm like, Guess, it's Boris's voice. Please say it.
There is a bit of Russian that sometimes comes with, hey, yes, I found a Bowles Weaver, right? Like, I am.
I love it so much.
Somebody call exterminator? I find your Bowles Weaver.
Okay, once again, I'm
apologizing.
Apologizing.
Yeah, good call, Diz.
Do a guess.
We are apologizing to Nadia, who we are sure is a wonderful person.
She looks like a super cool.
And hopefully we'll never hear of our
God damn it.
Horrible blasphemous podcast.
We're, you know, we like to think of ourselves as bookish, although the last 30 seconds may prove otherwise. Yeah. All right, so Guess was reading Nadia Bowles Weaver.
Yes.
Saints and Sinners. Yeah. Or Saints, Two Sinners. I don't know. I was going to read it too.
Yeah.
But I picked up the Memento Mori thing.
Yeah, how's that going for you?
Because I thought, like, I didn't realize it was so trendy. And the trendiness, like, made me not like it.
Mm.
And then I started to read it. And she, like, she has the nun who wrote it, like, thanks for being a nun. Like, you're super cool. And you have Memento Mori on your Twitter. And I'm just like, ugh, I can't do it. Especially because most of it is just using the Examine. And I already do that every day. Right. And I like the way I do it. So there's a little bit of, like, rebelliousness in me, which, if I'm honest, has been a bit of a Lenten theme where I'm just rebellious and, like, logic my way about how I'm not rebellious. And then that one calls me out. So I probably should just read The Way of the Heart again.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
But I am trying to get through it. So Memento Mori is like, remember your death. And I actually have just been saying that line to myself.
Right.
Like, the part that I find helpful about it is, like, whenever you're making a decision, like, think of yourself at the end of your life. And, like, are you going to be proud of that decision? And is, like, that in keeping with what God would want?
Yeah.
And that does, that's within my Ignatian tradition of, like,
yeah, that's very much, like, an Ignatian thing.
Yeah. So I just think it's not as new as I thought it was. And the skulls are really cute. Corny, have you heard about this whole Memento Mori thing? It's kind of like having a minute. It's having a moment.
No, you guys are actually much higher educated, like, you know.
I don't think that's true. But on the theology stuff. Tell us more about us. Because we know about the tweeter.
Diz is just really trendy. She's plugged in, right? Like, she's always
I'm not giving up no Black Mirrors for Lent. Let's just say that.
I make up a lot of things, and Diz, like, really, like, does some actual connections. That's actual lies.
Okay.
But
yeah, I mean, I just the fact that you could actually talk about lives of the saints, you know, like, I think, it's very intimidating, really, to be honest.
What?
You guys are like, you know,
no, Courtney, we might be like a real narrow, deep crack in the crevasse of, like, theology, but you've done like the real deal.
Theology.
Yeah, we're like. And I'm going to go there because I don't like those jokes.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, like, a gorge and actual crevasses, and you fuck you guys with all your dirty butt jokes all the time.
We need a t-shirt for the crack of theology.
Just a crevice.
Yeah. Deep in the crevice of theology.
All right. You know what? Crevice. Enough about us. We're such jerk hosts.
Yeah.
Corny, I want to know what you're doing for Lent. Besides your, so you're doing your so no Black Mirrors.
Yeah, the meditation and the giving up. Like, so that's,
okay.
So what's interesting is that we assign each other something to give up, which we were inspired by James Martin, who we both love,
we
and we know
love
that
him.
You love as
yes.
well.
Total fan
and,
right. children.
James Martin, once upon
Boys
a time, told Stephen Colbert
Woo!
That he...
his
thought,
Jewish
like,
friend.
Yeah, like, so he gives things up for Lent, you know, but it's when he told his friend about this that was from the Jewish tradition that the friend was like, that's ridiculous. You get to pick what you want to give up. Like,
lame.
And so now he is assigned three things, actually, to give up.
Like a spice.
Everywhere. Yeah, it's like a spice,
like
a food stuff, and maybe a sweet or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like
so,
that.
So we do one thing for each other.
And
so.
We're like fucking evil. Like, where we just like...
Right.
1 year, I was drinking a lot of, like, fizzy waters, which were also trendy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guest one day looked at me, he's like, you're going to miss that. Like, he months before Lent.
Except
like, he was threatening the thing I liked.
I couldn't, because you put it on your safe list.
Right, right. I sure did. We used to do safe lists, but this year, we went free-falling.
Yeah, no safe
no
lists.
No safe lists.
Yeah. So I've had to give up
we took from each other.
All things... that are in the capsaicin spicy family. So
no pepper or pepper products.
And so no hot sauce.
Yeah.
And nothing like that. So it's going to be a pretty bland Lent for me.
And Corny, you would enjoy this because, like, literally, like, an hour before we recorded, I watched him, like, gleefully smother his dinner in sriracha. And I was like, enjoy that in my head.
Yeah.
We sat down, we had dinner before the podcast, and she was watching me hot sauce it and internally laughing.
It's fine because this mofo took away from me all pickled things. And I live with someone who literally quick pickles everything.
Yeah.
Like,
Mr.
no
Dizzy
exaggeration,
is a big-time pickler.
My fridge is
okay.
full of jars of pickled things. And I'm like, can we throw this out? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, I can't even fucking eat it now. So I might do it.
So all we're right. still we're still sort of no like giver uppers in the classic sense, but yeah. we also do try, we to, try add to add things in. I used to be more of an adder, and then we started taking things away from each other.
It is good for us because it does make us think. Yeah. Like, I think that part of the practice of fasting is helpful. Yeah. Like, do you find that corny?
Keeps you mindful?
Like, you like, do you give up anything besides adding?
Now, now something I have done, and obviously I'm not doing it tonight, but so if do you want me to give you something to give up, or you are you already set?
Okay, okay, like, yes, no, because we invited, all right, dear listeners, all of you, we have invited Corny if he would like to assign guests and I a fast or adding a spiritual practice. Sort. Yeah, we are, you know what, because guests and I are fucking assholes, but we are trying to be better. So, like,
we have one rule and one rule only, though.
What's that?
Mm-hmm. If you take away our booze, there's going to be riots in the street.
Nope, we're not doing it.
Yeah. Cheers. Yeah, all right. Cheers. So, well, you know, all of us are assholes and have fallen short of the glory of God. So, I mean, you know, it's just, that's what it says.
I mean, it's a high bar.
Scripture. It is a high bar. Yeah. And God, you know, he's with us. He's fine with it. He wants us to get there eventually.
I blame Adam. Adam blames Eve. It's a long story.
I believe the Genesis model of punishment. Everyone suffers till everyone's free. Amen. So, sorry, Corny. We're the worst. Tell us what we're doing.
All right, all right.
Help us.
So this may not be... So what I've done before, and I'm like, okay, it's kind of hypocritical because I just put some stuff in my coffee, but I do not dress my coffee. I've done this before where I put no sweetener and no creamer.
Yes.
I just drink it black.
Yeah.
But you know, like, if that may not be a discipline for you because you already like, if you already do that.
It
anyway,
is for one of us and not for the other.
I'm a black coffee drinker myself.
But it's really interesting that you say that, because when I was thinking of things that would actually be hard for me, that was on my list. And I knew I couldn't, I knew it was no reason to take it from guests. But you are 100% right that that is like a daily that I should and could suffer through. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to take that from you, Corny. I would still hope you give my spiritual brother and co-host something. Because
trying to think of what would
he's
be
a dead soul and he drinks his coffee black and doesn't care. Although he does like fancy coffee. I'll tell you that. He's very, he does care about work.
You could
say no frou-frou coffee.
Yeah,
I don't even know what
no
frou-frou
coffee for guests.
Ooh, don't that's mean. He gets like a coffee subscription. Like, he really loves.
I did once upon a time. That was a gift, but
I know. But
I
feel like you okay.
Well, there's a social justice issue, right?
There's
fair trade coffee.
There's always good coffee.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line.
Fair trade is not frou-frou. Okay,
fair trade is not.
No. I'm not saying it's frou-frou. I'm just saying like
okay.
Like, he doesn't put anything in his coffee, but, like,
the first thought that came to mind, and this is not probably the same level of sacrifice as if you put milk and sugar in your coffee daily, but I was thinking, I've got a pretty significant bitters collection.
Garnishes.
Oh. So, like, the equivalent, the boozy equivalent of adding milk and sugar to your coffee is adding bitters to a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
I may have to give up bitters for Lent.
But that's like within our realm of booziness.
Or drink,
don't give
or drink only bitters because it's Lent.
please do that.
That's a bitter discipline right there.
That is a bitter discipline.
Wow.
Right? I feel like there's a caption.
Corny, yeah. I lived up to my name.
Yeah, you did it. You did it. There it is. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Arrived. Here it is.
I'm not going to lie. Instead of adding regular Angostura bitters to my Pirates cocktail tonight, I added pumpkin spice bitters.
You didn't even tell me that.
And it comes with like a hipster dropper, like the whole nine yards. So,
guys, Guess is like the best of hipsters where he's not even overt about it, but like loves it so much.
So I could do that. I could do that as the coffee equivalent.
Can we just point of order? That doesn't mean that like my cocktails suffer though, right?
No, I will give you the full bitters treatment. I'll probably give you more. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, but you know what? Giving up something extra in my coffee, like I actually think that this is the Holy Spirit, Corny, because I totally thought about like that as something that would be hard for me because I don't buy whipped cream. Except for, like, when there's pie or something. And I had bought some for, like, an event. And I still have some in my house. And, like, every morning I do the whipped cream and the coffee. Because it's cream and sugar.
Yes.
And even, like, the dizzy dogs get, like, a little boop, boop in their mouths. And so we're all going to give it up for Lent. And it's good for us. and I'm fully on board with it. So thank you, Corny, for that wonderful practice.
So your coffee will be too bitter.
I might not drink it.
My cocktails will not be bitter enough.
Bitter enough.
Yeah. You know what? And bitterness has always been a real strength of ours.
It has been, actually. Yeah. It's.
What are we going to be if not bitter? Damn.
I don't know. Yeah.
Sour?
Sour. Yeah, we probably will be sour.
We're not going to be sweet.
Rotten.
Oh. Umami? So,
I mean, so there's this whole idea that in Lent, you know, you give, you fast, you pray, you give, right? So
yes.
You give something up, and then hopefully you give of the excess that comes from that fasting practice, and then you pray a little bit more. And we've talked about some of the things that we kind of want to be able to like pray about. But there's also like, we've talked about this before on the podcast, that with the liturgical seasons, there is a rhythm to life in the church that is both exhausting and refreshing or renewing.
I never want to live without it.
And so it's like when Lent rolls around, you're supposed to be like, wah, wah, it's Lent. And yet we kind of look forward to it every year. Yeah. Like we, you know, Dizzy and I are like, it's Lent. Like it's time to be more mindful. It's time to kind of do a little bit of spiritual house cleaning. And I don't know if you find the same thing, Cordy, that like when Lent rolls around or Advent rolls around, it's like, oh, time to perk up a little bit spiritually and like be on top of it. And I don't know what you feel. What are your thoughts about the whole season of Lent, the idea of Lent?
Oh, gosh. So, you know, I think, I'm going to share like a favorite scripture. And I think it's because for me, Lent draws me closer to this. And that is, I love Ephesians 3:18, which is, you know, I pray that you may grasp how long and wide and high and deep is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you may know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I feel like Lent does that. I mean, we're looking at the passion of the Lord at Holy Week. We're looking at the depth of God's love for us, for those particularly on the margins in the face of the establishment, which got them nailed up there in the first place. Right.
Yeah.
And so, for me, it's just to take a deep dive into that and strip some of the things away that maybe distract us from the original program, you know, of what Jesus was about. And yes, like you, it's a very exciting time for me because of that.
Dude, that was so beautiful, and I really appreciate you like being able to just lay that on us,
right?
I actually had listened, like, well, no, because like the margins have been on my mind a lot. You know, I was just listening to like some news report, and I know it's like we've all been inundated, but like we're not inundated because it's not our real lives, but like the people on the border of Turkey and Greece, and they're trying to make their way over, and they're being shot at like with like live ammo and like turned away, and just like that's the margins. And I think there's some many stories right now about those kind of situations, and we just kind of go into like depressive overload.
Right.
And I don't know what to say about it other than that it's on my mind, and that it's on my heart, and it's on my prayers at this moment in our history and in our time.
I think what we're looking at, you know, again, kind of getting back to where we started with this, is like the exhaustion of everything else that's going on in the world, and the fact that, you know, Lent arrives right now in the midst of so much chaos and things that should really, in any other time and place, take top billing on the news cycle. Are kind of pushed down and suppressed.
Sure,
right?
We care like, about like
actual humanitarian crises are going on in the world, and yet there's an election cycle which is going on that's extremely important to not just U.S. culture but global culture. There's a, you know, a pandemic that's going around that people are freaking out about for reasons that are both legitimate
from such a privileged
and
place, though,
completely
I have to say,
illegitimate, right? Like there's a lot of misinformation, and there's a lot of legitimate information, and a lot of fear that is based in, you know, both fact and fantasy. So there's so many things that are filling up our lives, and yet we, in part because of that, we forget that there's people for whom worrying about something like the coronavirus is a friggin' luxury. You know, Like it's not part of their day-to-day reality because they're worried about putting food in their stomachs or something like that.
Or surviving.
And those are the ones that we're supposed to connect with during Lent, you know? And so it's part of the process is sifting through all of that to find out where do we lie on that big spectrum.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those kind of unanswerable things. And I would say like a bastion of my faith has always been that we have a God who is the God of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's never an answer to the problem of evil except that God is present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where to go beyond that, but that's a starting place.
Right. Well, right. Father Greg Boyle, you know, right? God
homeboy
protects us from nothing but sustains us through everything.
Oh,
right?
Gosh, just straight to the heart of it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's one of those times also, you know, like when we... For me personally, like when I focus on Lent and I pray more intentionally and I try and spend a little bit more time doing that spiritual house cleaning, I reconnect with some of those sort of heroes of the faith, right? The Father Greg Boyles of the world that remind me of why I keep kind of plugging away. Mm. And, you know, like, so Dizzy and I talk a lot on the podcast about what are the things that make us stick around, right?
Because that's kind of full circle for
us. The church doesn't always have a great public face, right? Like in our world, in the spectrum of the way that the world interacts with both all things spiritual and all things social, the church doesn't always put its best foot forward. And then on top of that, it doesn't always make it easy for us to access the best things about it. And so part of that is sort of the noble struggle to say, but what are the things that really are good, right? This is the faith we grew up with. It was given to me. I didn't choose it, but why do I continue to choose it?
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about, just as you were saying, this idea of where did it come from and how do we keep it?
Right.
Right, because it's in us.
Because Lent, honestly, Lent kicks ass as like a season.
Dude, I hate it and I love it so much, though.
Yeah.
Like,
because we talk about the fact that 40 days is a symbolic number, right?
It's a long time, though.
And actually,
today is a long time.
And we uncovered this, what was this, last year that we found out that, like, there may have been a mistranslation. It may have
been
4 days long, may have been the original intention.
Dude, but we
due
would
to
miss it every year,
a wrong translation,
oh my gosh.
It may have been 40 days,
no,
right?
No, truth.
A bit of a technical difficulty there, so we're back.
My bad.
We were talking about Lent
and how we stick with it.
Yeah, how
well, the church, how we stick with the church, really.
Yeah, like how we hang with it,
because it's a paradox
in good times and bad. And how Lent kind of is that callback to what we love about it, and how it helps us grow. And we kind of wanted to pick Corny's brain about
guys,
what are the things,
like, really deep in the faith.
Yeah.
And Guest and I like to learn from him. So lay it on us, Corny.
Corny, the question that kind of got us started and that we always come back to is, like, why do we stay, right? Like, in the midst...
That's actually why church drunk exists.
...of all of this chaos that exists in the church. Totally. And so many people who do walk away.
Right.
With good reason. Yes. And justifiably. Like, friends of ours who have said, I can't do this anymore.
And yet, it's on us.
Why do we stick around?
Yeah.
So we've talked about it before on the podcast.
Totally.
But we're interested in hearing from you. Like, what makes you stay in this faith?
I think for me is that, well, okay, the Christian understanding foundation of God is love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And loving other is other. And I stick with the Catholic faith because I keep on progressing and understanding that through the lens of the church in a deeper way daily, you know, that I think I have become a more loving, giving, forgiving person. I've learned. Yeah. And so I guess the day that I stop, feel like I'm getting off track with that, maybe is the, is the time for me to step away and say, okay, I need something else. But so far, it has not disappointed me on that end.
Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely. I mean, it's encouraging for me to hear that because, you know, I feel similarly. Like, it's something that makes me grow and examine myself and hopefully become a better person. But culturally, it's deep, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I would be anything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, the short answer to the question whenever it's come up, and it's not just, you know, that we've talked to each other about it. No. Like, it comes up at other times. All the time.
I mean, really frequently, actually.
You know, like, and, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are of the Protestant tradition, you know, and at different times I've spent a lot of time with them. And, and you know, they ask me things about the Catholic. And but, like, my answer is always because it works, you know, for me. It works. And I know that it's not for everybody that it works, but I hope that I would have sort of the fortitude where, like, if I really felt like the Catholic tradition and the Catholic faith was not working for me anymore, that I'd be willing to step away and explore something else. But yeah, kind of like you said, like the day that it stops opening up new experiences for you is the day that you kind of have to reevaluate.
That's so interesting that you say because it works, because I say because it's true. I don't think it always works for me.
Yeah.
It's a real struggle sometimes. But I can't logic myself into a better system.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really where it's always been the strength for me is that it's true to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to go to something that I don't that feels better but that I think is less true. As Stephen Colbert says, I'm really into truthiness. I haven't been convinced otherwise.
Interesting.
Well, I can relate to that because, you know, you relate to it in the fact that for me, truth and love are one and the same, right?
Totally.
You know what I mean? So
totally.
Right. So the instant that, so I stay there because I think it's the same thing. Truth, we just kind of have a different angle at it, maybe.
Yeah. You know? And I guess the struggle has been this is the truth and yet it's really tough. When Guest and I were first talking about this idea and we were saying, like, you know, we want to stay, it's in our hearts because of truth and it's in our hearts because it works and it does work in my life too.
It's the way we've been formed, right?
It's the way we've been formed, but like, we're also convicted of it. I know, but like, we've left other things behind us that we don't agree with. Like, I think there is that buy-in. And like, when we were talking about names for this little project, I was like on Paradox and like all these existential ideas, and Guest was like, what about Church Drunk? And I was like, yes, forever.
Right.
Because I will always want to be Church Drunk.
Yes. Well, it captures,
you know, like, that is the essence of it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, we talked about the idea
that
it's
not rational, and yet it is.
It's a, you know, paradox. It's a combination of churchiness and like punch drunk. Like, you keep coming back to this thing that makes you feel sort of like exhausted at times, right? Like, there have been times where I've been like, if I could quit, I would do it right now.
Totally.
And yet.
But I can't.
When I start to really parse it out, right? Where else would I go? What else would I do? What could provide me with the same things? I don't have a better answer, right? And so it's like you've been knocked around, and yet you go back to it. You're punch drunk. You're goofy.
And I love church that, drunk. Right? Like, we love the mystery. Yeah. I am so glad that there is something beyond myself. I am so glad there is something beyond my understanding.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I fucking suck. Like, I don't want something that's just me.
Right.
You know? And that's the part of it.
And then I'm
going to
mention something else.
Yeah,
just
tell us.
What's happening here.
Right.
So I think it's belonging. You know, the richest experience of belonging, I'll say it, one of the richest ones are the two of you, you know, Dizzy and Guest. I mean, like, just the fact that we, you know, we have distance. But when we're back together, there's just a connectedness. In the context of my Catholic faith, I haven't had that anywhere else. And I think
corny
it's
I mean, that's lovely, and we feel the same way. And that is part of the big picture, right? Is that you have You have friends with whom you can pick up right where you left off. And when mm-hmm. you share a faith with those friends, yeah. like there's a real reason at the root of it.
And I don't know any greater conviction of the divine
yeah.
than that connection, yeah. than that glimpse oh. of a heavenly...
That's the spirit,
of
right?
a heavenly banquet, right? Yeah. And like we well, were yeah, blessed. 'Cause... So we know Corny from way back when.
Yeah.
Joined us in a certain mm-hmm. experience in a certain time mm-hmm. that I think was a gift to us all. And, yeah. it, and I have to say, like, that is to me a proof of the divine.
Yeah.
Right?
And I there think were
God
a lot
lets
of,
us right. glimpse through experience that which we cannot really fathom intellectually. And I am somebody who values
yeah.
the intellectual and logic.
And there were a lot of people that were part of that. And yeah. some of them, yeah. you know, like... we still have that connection with, and some of them for again entirely valid reasons have had to walk away from the faith part of their lives. And the fact that I don't blame them for that, and yet I still cherish like the faith connections that I do have with people who are still kind of entrenched mm-hmm. in that, and I still value the friendships that I have with people who have walked away
always,
from that
always.
You know, I think it's a testament to the reason that we were all brought together in the first place, right? Like the umbrella that we all fell under was people that were willing to delve a little bit more deeply yeah. into what the movement of the Holy Spirit was in our lives at that moment. And, you know, yeah. no matter where you go from that point, right? No matter what direction life takes you in, it's still going to unify you, right? Yeah. Like that's the power of that spirit.
Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of the most beautiful lines from Lumen Gentium was that the Holy yeah. Spirit breathes truth into all religions, into all people, into all faiths.
Right.
And I think that's what comes to mind when I think about that.
Yeah.
Because it is beyond our understanding.
Yeah.
And all we can do is try to touch base, right? Like touchstone totally. Back to that. So here we are.
And yet it is mm-hmm. exhausting at times.
Oh my gosh.
And so one of the other questions
that
we have,
I might have just used up
right?
all my energy for the whole of Lent.
For the why do we stay, there's yeah. also the flip side of that, which yeah. is like, if you were Pope for a day, what would you change? Like what? Like if you could just
oh,
say from
wow.
the chair
we guess just
of
slicing
St. Peter,
like a bayonet
say
through butter.
That this is the thing that's going to change in our church. And Corny, I'm fascinated to hear what
Lay
your answer
would
be. Lay
it on us, brother.
If you could change one thing in our Catholic faith,
what would it be?
What would it be if you were Pope for a day? Mm. Pope Corny the First.
I would say that. I would say gay marriage.
Yeah.
I would
okay.
say gay
okay.
marriage.
Okay. Tell yeah. us about that.
Well.
Or do you,
know,
you want
I think
to?
That,
you can say no. You don't.
Right. No, I think I will. You know, for the LGBTQ community, you know, it's interesting. The rate of suicide, right, is much yeah. higher right. for those who come from a place of faith than for mm-hmm. those who don't. That's
a fucking heartbreak, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's a tension where the reality of how they're wired and the toe-the-line thing that... they're being called to, they just can't work. And and women priests. Yeah, I would go there too. So anyway.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Would be yeah. a busy day in the church if you were in charge.
It would be
Corny,
a very busy day in the church.
Yeah.
The church would be really
right
pissed
over.
Off at
yeah.
at me as Pope
Absolutely.
For a day.
No, but
yeah.
I think that we both have explored those before on the podcast and said yeah. that these are things where, you know, when the church finds itself so out of sync with the not only the movement of society, which I suppose there's an argument to be made, right, that the church has a role to be slow to change when society is quick to change. Like sometimes that's necessary, but I still think you have to ask the question, is it in line with the teachings of the person who put us here? The
yeah.
one who said mm-hmm. that love is universal, that love should unite us, that the people who are marginalized are the ones that we should be reaching out to.
Yeah.
So if society is reaching out to those people in a way that the church is not willing to do, something is very drastically out of sync.
Well, and you know, when you say, you know, because you specifically said gay marriage, and I think of how important the sacraments are to Catholics, right?
Yeah.
Like we have this visible sign of an invisible grace. And why would we ever stop somebody from receiving the sacrament.
Yeah.
Or from participating in grace. And I feel like that's a really important part. Like, my Ignatian tradition taught me very carefully, and Corey and I were talking about this earlier, like, be very careful not to limit God. And I would kind of extend that to be very careful to limit grace. Be very careful to prevent somebody's experience of that, because I do believe it's God's will that everybody be fully experiencing and be fully in communion. And I don't think that means, like, I can just hear the haters be like, oh, you're just making excuses and you're, you know, giving power to maybe sinfulness. But it's like, no, like, that's not the case. If we're talking about communion, if we're talking about connection and affirming people, and especially preventing the despair that maybe leads to suicide or something else like that, there's really no question. Like, it's very clear cut, actually, if you think of it that way.
Someone I know was talking with a priest who shared with them the fact that the priest went into the seminary at 13, but they spent their whole time discerning whether or not they had the gift of celibacy, right? That was a gift. And so I just think about our LGBT brothers and sisters who don't have that gift.
Right.
And yet, you know, are as repulsed, you know, by thinking of a heterosexual relationship as some of us might be by a same-sex relationship, you know. And where do they go? How do they cope? How do they, you know, how can they walk alone? And yet our God is a God of mercy, you know, and anyway.
Yeah, I don't think we have all the understanding or all the answers yet about how to navigate this. And I always sort of thought that there would be female priests before there would be married priests, because the church in recent history, and I mean recent as like a few hundred years, has sort of obsession with, you know, the pelvic theology, right? Like, we're very hung up on this.
Yeah.
And I think I always thought it would be easier to swallow to have that they'd rather have chaste or you know, celibate women priests than married priests.
Yeah.
But I don't know anymore. And and I don't know which way it will go. And it's been interesting to see Francis engage with this idea of women deacons, which I think has actually opened an interesting conversation about gender in the church.
Right.
And as science moves along with our understanding of gender, how will the church adapt? Because the church has kind of a spotted history with science, right? Where we've upheld science. A lot of the great scientists of history have been monks and priests, and yet we've also had this history of negating science or just regarding it when it doesn't go along.
Corny should appreciate. Like, let's talk about the church and adaptation, right? But slow to adapt, slow to adopt adaptation. All of these things apply to our church. Yeah.
Well, the official position here at Church Drunk is not so nuanced nor conflicted.
No.
We don't think it matters.
Right.
And we think you best be worrying about some of your charitable acts and the gospel call to love your neighbor before you be worrying about who's poking who.
Yeah, right. I don't know where we ever could have possibly gotten that idea from, that maybe you should worry about your own personal
log in your
house.
Eye.
Before you start throwing stones at other people's
and let's be clear,
physical bodies.
The church drunk house is like a mud
we're a fucking
like
mess.
Tunnel.
Yeah.
Like, we have scaffolding. Yeah. Like, please do not think we are holding ourselves above. Right. Like, we're the worst.
Admit you're a mess. Well, that is stage one of being
Jesus
a spiritual
is on
person.
The cross and he's with the worst.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Welcome.
Right.
And actually, that kind of brings us full circle. We realized that we never talked about why we're guessing dizzy. And when we were thinking about this, because we wanted Corny to come on and Corny's not his real name, you know. So we're like, Corny, what do you want to be? And he's like, I'm going to join the riffraff around the cross.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us, Corny, who are these riffraff and who are you?
Yeah, so, well, okay. So I wanted to be so one of the centurions, you know, around the cross.
Okay. Right.
And so I just imagined none of them are named. Look at the
scripture knowledge dropping upon us. Keep on going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So none of them are named around the cross that I could find. And so, but what I
of the centurions.
Of the centurions. Okay. But there was a centurion Cornelius that Peter converted, right? Or that converted and Peter baptized his whole family. That's Cornelius. And so I just kind of imagined actually that what if Cornelius was a centurion who pierced Jesus in the side, that confirmed his death to Pilate, and later on, you know, had this encounter with Peter. Of course, now the book of Acts probably would have really highlighted that because they, you know, but I just kind of imagined that connection in my mind. And so I named myself, you know, Corny in honor of Cornelius.
Well, my Ignatian heart idea that supports your Ignatian imagination.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And
my Ignatian spiritual director would be proud. So.
There you go.
Oh, do you have an Ignatian spiritual director? I didn't know that. Technically, I do. Okay.
So find That's God awesome. In all things.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, that for me saved my faith in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I give them credit. Mm-hmm. But I'm dizzy because when Guess coined Church Drunk, the next question was, well, who are we going to be?
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to use our real names because we're still drawing paychecks from people who might not have as open a view as we perhaps indulge here on Church Drunk. So I'm Dismas.
Yeah.
Who is Saint, the good thief?
Saint Dismas.
Look at Saint Dismas. That's right. And I have a feast day and everything.
Right.
Because my buddy on the other side of Jesus on the cross is a Gestus.
Gestus.
Yeah. Gestus?
Gestus.
Okay. No, yeah. M. Gestus.
Yeah. Gestus, who, and I don't even know if that's like pronounced correctly or not, because everybody forgets him because he's the shitty one that goes to hell.
he's the doubter, and like I actually think it's interesting that Guess gave me this. Guess, you were always generous to me, but like that you gave me the good thief, because I am maybe more the doubter.
You seem like more of a Dizzy than a Guess. Well, it, I don't know.
You didn't
want to
be called Dizzy, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. It just seemed like you fit with Dizzy, and I feel
I like it. I mean, it's Guess, integrated for sure. Yeah. Like that's who I am now.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think that there's like the idea is in some way, shape, or form, right? And Corny, this obviously resonates with you. You went, all of us get drawn in to that moment around the cross.
Yeah.
And the question is, at that moment, who are you, right? Mm. Are you the good thief? Are you the bad thief who's like, hey, get me off this cross? Are you the one who says, I know that I've done wrong, and in this moment, I'm ready to repent? Are you the one who's piercing the side? Are you the one who's standing off and you're just a bystander? Like, what is your role in that most critical moment?
Are you the beloved?
Are you the one who's waiting to take Jesus off the cross and take him to the tomb? You know, like, who are you at that moment? Because that's the critical moment.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
So it all revolves around that and what comes next.
God, that's so fucking Lenten. I don't know how we even end any other way.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
It's very Lenten.
It is. Well, we were like super excited to have you join us, Corny.
Dude, you've made our week. Thank you for being with us, Corny.
Yeah.
Dizzy Guest, thank you so much for having. I love you guys.
We love you, bro.
Love you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an honor and a privilege to have a chat.
And I will now be drinking bland coffee because of
bland
you.
Bland coffee.
And guests will be drinking unbittered cocktails.
Straight up unbittered coffee.
I don't know if this is actually a sacrifice. Wait a second. You're just going to be drinking straight booze and this is your sacrifice?
Yeah. Hard
Wait a
liquor.
Fucking minute.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's not too late, Corny. You have any other spiritual practices you want to lay on him?
I mean, I did kind of give that to myself. I said it was the first thing that came to mind. If something better comes to mind between now and the next time we record,
I don't know. I just,
we can for sure.
I just want to give him the opportunity.
Yeah.
Praying a rosary, you know, while you walk on your knees, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I guess you should do that.
Yeah. Every time I drink a cocktail with no bitters in it, I'll walk on my knees and pray the rosary.
and pray the rosary.
Dude, so it'll be a lot of beer this Lent.
In fairness, I have tried to add the whole rosary thing, and I just keep doing it when I go to bed.
I fall asleep really every time I try to do the rosary. Same
Cass
here.
And I are the worst, you guys. Man. Anybody can do better than us. We hope you are turning your minds toward God for Lent.
Yes.
You can email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com and tell us what you are giving up or adding in for Lent.
Tweet us at churchdrunkpod.
Any shout outs you want to give, Corny? You can throw them out there if you want.
Probably a shout out? What do you mean? Yeah.
Like, I mean, actually, we don't want Corny's like professional life to be connected to Church Drunk. You can still email Corny at churchdrunk@gmail.com and just
contact Corny
the subject line.
At Corny the Church Drunk Podcaster at gmail.com.
Oh my gosh. And if we ever get merch,
might have to make that address now. Corny the Church Drunk Podcaster.
I'm totally fine with that. That could happen.
Corny@churchdrunk.com.
I actually think we may have an domain? @churchdrunk.com God domain address still available. So we may have to assign that to Corny so that anybody who emails us about various things will go straight to him.
Hey, that's our Lenten sacrifice.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Well, we're thankful that you joined us, Corny. We are thankful that you joined us, listener. And thanks, Mom, again for tuning in. And we will catch you next week during our Lenten journey here at Church Drunk. Where Corny, Dizzy, Guess, we're all
around the cross.
Gathered around the cross and drinking hot vinegar off a sponge. It's what we do. Plain coffee and hot vinegar.
Church Drunk.
Plain coffee. Hot vinegar and
cheers.
Silence. And no gizmos.
Hey, Corny, cheers to you. Thanks for being with us, bro.
Cheers.
All right.
All right. Ching.